Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. This is the best animated shows ever. So far.
Oh gosh, it is. Netflix is yelling at me. Netflix, stop yelling at me.
The show where we watch, discuss, and review.
Rank.
All animated shows ever, eventually.
Yeah, I think that's close.
Yeah.
I haven't been consistent with it, so who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh. That's right. It is all of that.
Yeah. And today we are here to talk about a great Netflix animation. Castlevania. Came out 2018? Last year?
2017.
Okay. So, and the first episode we're talking about is Witch Bottle.
Witch Bottle. The one on the left. Before we talk about Witch Bottle, though, I want to get into background stuff. And for the first episode, I mean, we got to talk about Castlevania games, right?
Oh, yeah. To.
So, I have virtually no history with Castlevania games. I'm curious about you. Have you played a lot of Castlevania?
No, I think I played one once, but no, I don't have much history. In fact, most of my history is watching other people play Castlevania.
Okay, that's fair. I have several Castlevania games. I think we had one of the NES ones when I was a kid, though I don't have any real memory of it. And then I know I picked up, like, in the Game Boy Advance and DS era, I picked up quite a few of those, as they were releasing on the portable Nintendo systems. But that was the era where I was working at GameStop, so I was buying a lot of games, but not necessarily playing much of all the games I bought, because I was just, I was like, ooh, this is cheap, sure.
Well, you're making your collection at that point.
Yes, my collection that now I'm like, just get rid of all of it. I don't need this. Why do I have this? Why do I have this? Did I tell you about the weird Ren and Stimpy skateboarding game I have?
No.
I have this GameCube game. I can't think of what it's called now. But it's like, the premise is that it's a Tony Hawk ripoff made in partnership with the studio that makes Ren and Stimpy cartoons. And you're playing as characters in the world where cartoons come from. And you're auditioning to be the next big cartoon at that studio. So it's a skateboarding game with, like, gross cartoon antics where, like, you get bonus points for skateboarding into a porta potty or into some saw blades that cut your head off.
Cool.
And I paid like $2 for it, I think is what the sticker on the front of it says. It's worth $150.
Nice.
I have no idea. I have no memory of buying this. I definitely didn't pay it when I bought it. I played it a little bit the other day. It's fine. But then I was like, well, I don't need this game. I should sell it. I wonder what. Oh, shoot. It's expensive. Oh, all right then.
Hold on to it for a few more years.
No, I want to get rid of it. It's just sitting on a shelf or in a box. So, let's talk a little bit about the game. So the game series started in 1986 as Akumajo Dracula. And it was not on the Nintendo originally. It was on the Family Computer Disk System accessory for the Famicom. So this was actually a disc-based game originally. Yeah. And it was so successful as a disc-based game that they're like, man, we need to release this to the rest of the world, where we did not release a disc-based accessory for the Nintendo. So they had to move it over onto a cartridge. And when they moved it to a cartridge to release internationally, they also changed the name because the leader of Konami of America's, or not the leader, I'm sorry, their senior vice president, thought that the name Akumajo Dracula was it was a little much, which is funny in light of the show that we've watched. He thought it was a little much in terms of the religious connotations associated with it, because the rough translation of Akumajo Dracula was Dracula Satanic Castle. Which, you gotta take a step back on that one, Konami. I don't know.
So, a little bit of extra information there is, over in Japan, the Famicom had floppy disks to play games on. So that's what Troy's talking about when he talks about that. They were on floppy disks before they were. Whoops. I'm a little sleep deprived at the moment, and I'm drinking, so some slips will happen.
So let's see. The series has like a ton of games in it. It is one of the best-selling video game franchises ever. It's on the list. It's not high up on the list of best-selling franchises ever, but to give you a little bit of a frame of reference, Castlevania as a series has sold about 20 million units, while the best-selling franchise ever has sold nearly 600 million units. MC, pop quiz, what are the top three best-selling video game franchises?
Mario, Zelda.
No.
No? Final Fantasy, then.
Nope. There is an RPG in there.
The only other RPG I can think of is Dragon's Quest.
Nope.
I have no idea.
Pokemon is number two.
Oh!
With 311 million. And the third one is a game I don't think you and I really play at all anymore. I know we used to occasionally, where you just shoot people a lot. Lots of shooting people.
Oh, Call of Duty.
Yep. Call of Duty is number three with 288 million. There's a crazy drop-off. Like, so Mario, as the best-selling franchise, has almost double what Pokemon does in the number two spot. But they kind of cheat, because Mario, as a category, includes the Mario games, as well as Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Sports. Like, they encompass all of that into one thing. And I'm like,
anything with Mario in
Nintendo,
it.
I think you're cheating a little bit with that. Let's see. Last fact I have about the show is that this series is specifically based on Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse, which came out in 1989. It's actually set a couple hundred years before the first two games. So they went back in time with Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. It does star Trevor Belmont. He's the main character. It is set in 1476. It's kind of cool because it has assistant characters that you can unlock throughout the game, and it's got branching paths, both of which were like kind of innovative at the time. I mean, in 1989, those were pretty cool things to have. I actually played this yesterday. I went, after watching the show, I went and played some of Castlevania 3. I beat the first level, beat the first boss, killed a lot of skeletons, killed some bats, killed some zombies. It was a good time. Since I'd never really played a Castlevania game, I was like, let me go do my due research. And, it was fun.
From what I can tell, there's a lot of that, and then the bosses are, like, different kinds of, like, large monsters, and but a lot of it's just, like, trying to figure out the patterns and, like, just repeat and...
Yep.
Like, a lot of those older games are like that, where you just got to play it over and over and over until you get the pattern down.
Definitely.
Like Battletoads.
Yep. I was thinking Mega Man. I felt a lot of similarities between Castlevania 3 and early Mega Man games in terms of the pattern recognition kind of stuff. And the end of the first level has a boss that's just a bigger skeleton, basically. You've been fighting skeletons the whole time, but then there's a real big skeleton with a shield. He doesn't use his shield, but boy, is he scary looking. But basically, he just keeps coming at you, and there's platforms on both ends that you can kind of get on top of to jump over him. So, yeah, it was fun. But I got my butt kicked by the boss the first time through, and then the second time through, I figured out the pattern, and then he was a piece of cake, which is kind of how those games go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, very last note is on the topic of Castlevania III Dracula's Curse. This is not the first cartoon that is based on Castlevania III Dracula's Curse.
Because no, it's not.
There's an episode of Captain N the Game Master where there's a whole episode in season 3 called Return to Castlevania that is based on this game. I can't wait to talk about Captain N the Game Master. I'm so excited. Do you know Captain N?
No.
Oh my, I'm putting it on the list.
I've heard it, but I've barely seen anything. Like, the only reason I know there was like an episode of something else about Castlevania was because when this was coming out, I was reading up on some other animations and stuff that had been done in the past, and like what else was being made, and I think they mentioned it in one of the articles that I was reading that this wasn't the first time Castlevania had been turned into like animation.
It's, I think there's actually another one. I realized as I said that, I think there's been a prior dedicated Castlevania anime.
Yeah.
Not my silly joke about Captain N. But yeah, it's also been in comic books. There's been a lot of, like, spin-off media. I didn't really look too closely into all that, but it's a franchise that has, like, a pretty dedicated fan base. So there's been a lot of, kind of expanded universe stuff for Castlevania, and most of it is ongoing story. They actually rebooted the series a couple years ago in the video game side of things with I think the series is called Lords of Shadow or something like that I think has 3 games in it, and it's technically a reboot, but up till that it was all like one epic saga. So
yeah,
the games took place over the course of like millennia, but you were almost always playing as either a Belmont or Alucard, who
yeah,
we meet barely in this episode, and then he's a big part of episode 4.
He's just like,
he's a shadowy figure in this episode.
Yeah, he's a shadow. You don't actually meet him. He sort of comes in right at the end of the episode.
He pokes his head and it is like, ooh, yeah, aren't I mysterious? And you're like, hell yeah, you are. What is going on? With that, let's get into it. Let's talk about Witch Bottle. Hey, this show's real pretty. That's my first thing.
Oh my god. The animation is so good. Oh my god. So the opening scene is her coming up to the castle. And by her, I mean Lisa. Lisa Tepish is who she becomes, but I'm not sure of her last name at this point. She walks up to the door, she knocks.
Walking through, like, a field of people on spikes, and by people, I mean skeletons, and bats, and she stabs a bat. Like, that's the first thing we see her do, is stab a bat, and I was like, is this a show where we're going to get a female Belmont taking on Dracula? No, it's not. It's not.
No.
That's not what happens. Instead, she politely knocks.
Yeah, she knocks on the door, and the door goes, eh?
The door is like 100 feet tall. It's so big. It's such a big door. And it opens itself with like gears and steam and stuff.
Yeah.
It's important. It's all mechanized.
And then when she walks in, she's like, hello? And then she kind of gets menaced a bit by Dracula. And she's all sassy to him. And is like, you haven't offered me a drink. Offered to take my coat. And he's like, how about I take a drink from you? And she's like,
he's a vampire.
Yeah. And she's just so sassy towards him. It's like, that's like a millennia-year-old, like, monster that you're talking sass to right now. the best bit is when she's like, oh, and you just stick people on spikes, and he's like, I haven't done that in a long time. They're all just skeletons at this point, so he's like, yeah, I haven't done that in a long time.
Like, yeah, oh, well, as long as you've moved past your spike-sticking days, I guess it's I like that she's motivated, though. She's not just...
Yeah.
We find out right away what she's looking for. She's heard that he has, like, science that no one else has, and she wants to be a doctor, and she wants to help people, and she thinks that, like, the doctors who are, like, rubbing leeches on people and stuff are, like, frauds, and she wants to actually learn to help people. So she's here to learn, which is... kind of cool.
She wants his knowledge.
And
he has this massive library and lab, and it's so, like, way more advanced than anything else in the world.
A lot of glass chemistry sets and things like that that should not be existing. We should say this is in 1455, so, like, they talk later about how there was glass as thin as paper and things like that.
Yeah, there's electricity and a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on in this lab, and she's just in awe of this, like everything that he has and all this knowledge, and she is very much like, I want this knowledge so I can help people, and it's at this point she's like. Like at the end of like this conversation and her getting into the lab and the library and stuff, she's like, maybe you should travel as a man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he talks about how he can travel anywhere in the world because the castle moves and stuff. And she's like, maybe if you traveled the land as a man, you would see it as I do. And the beauty and wonder of it.
Yeah, because she's talking to him about how she hopes that kind of the trade-off she can do is she gets to learn from him about sciences and all that stuff. And what she can potentially teach him in exchange is how to, like, not hate people. Because he's all locked up in his castle all by himself. And she's like, man, if you just get out and see the world, it's not so bad.
Yeah. From there, it cuts to the opening title sequence. And then as soon as the opening title sequence is done...
I was going to say, on the title sequence, we get, like, a long, cool title sequence in this episode. I really, really like the title sequence. And we didn't get that in the whole rest of the show.
No, they sort of shorten it down. I'm guessing this is supposed to introduce you to, like, what... happens over like the 20 years,
right? I think the title sequence actually comes after the burning, which doesn't really make sense for the time shift.
It shifts from there to like her being tied to a stake and this town and priest, like you see priest praying and holding up crosses and stuff, and they burn her at the stake.
Yep, it's a good old-fashioned witch burning. And there's a specific bishop who's there who's like...
Real creepy. And he has a conversation with just an ordinary guy from the town. And he's talking about how she's a witch and the archbishop wants to keep the people of this area simple folk and... It's really hitting on, like, all the bad points of what can happen with this power structure of the church and, like, how corrupt things can happen within this organization. It's, like, they're really trying to hit on, like, this, like, the execution of educated women back in the day. Like... Yep. It's trying to get across the witch burning days. Like, these weren't intelligent people who were doing good for their communities. They were burning people who were trying to help the community. And it's like, this is the sort of bad stuff that can happen if there's not, like, progression, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says that she was so far gone that she couldn't even tell it had all been given to her by Satan. Which, I mean, he's actually kind of right in this circumstance, which does undercut it a little bit, because she did learn all of that stuff by hanging out with Dracula. So it does undercut it a little bit. But I do like that there is no question right away that, like, dude is evil. He is not doing this for the good of anybody. He's doing it because he's evil.
Like, well, yeah. And he's kind of insane as well.
Oh, yeah. Super nuts. Super nuts.
Because he has this, like, mentality, like, this, I'm trying to think, oh my god, my brain just turned off.
Turn it back on, drink some more cider.
Almost drank some cider.
Popped, your hand just popped in out of frame, like, oh, don't worry, I've got the cider.
But yeah, it's like he has this, like, insane, almost fascist idea about the church.
Right.
Like,
they are all powerful. They are always correct. There's no way we could be wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
He scares me. Like, legitimately, this guy is such a cool villain. And spoilers, I guess. I was really excited to see him be, like, the villain throughout the whole series. He's not. He's nope. not the villain through the whole series.
He is in this season.
He is for the season. He does not survive the first season.
No.
I watched episode 4 last night. We're only going to talk about the first 3. But in episode 4, Bishop dies. So much for him being, like, the big bad of the show. But yeah, he's creepy. And we sit in this witch burning scene for a very long time, which is, this was kind of the first time where I was like, oh, this show is, like, not just not for kids. It's, like, not really for teenagers either, because, you know, the opening has, like, the skeletons and she stabs a crow. And I was like, oh, okay, not a kids show. Like, good to know. But you just sit here for so long while she's burning at the stake. And I'm like, this
is,
like,
slow,
gruesome and uncomfortable. And the whole time she's yelling out, like, they don't know what they're doing. Be better than them. Don't do anything. Please. Hey, Dracula, my husband, please don't come kill all these people with a horde of darkness. Please. Unfortunately, Dracula's not listening because he's out walking the countryside like a man. We can tell it's him when we find him, because he's got long thumbnails. That's the sign of a Dracula.
So, yeah, this is where the opening sequence, the really cool opening sequence happens. And then it cuts back to Dracula walking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walking along the road back towards, I guess.
Targovista.
He's Targovista. Passing.
Targovista.
And he's passing through a field, and he gets to a burnt down home.
Mm-hmm.
And an old lady approaches with flowers.
And this is a sweet little old lady who apparently Lisa, like, was a doctor for her. And Lisa tells him about how they took her. And she's like, she was good to me, your wife. She was a good doctor. And basically she's like, this lady's like, I recognize that the church is never wrong. However, I think they might have been wrong this time in taking your wife and burning her alive. It's kind of building on that idea you were talking about of, like, the church gone rampant and it kind of controlling everything, and this little old lady, like, even she isn't like the church was absolutely wrong. She's like, well, you know the church, they took her and burned her at the stake like they do, but she was a good doctor. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's so messed up. How do you not realize how messed up that is?
See, it's really weird to think back on, like, how things used to be.
Mm.
Like, you got to think, like, for a long time, these people were the holders of all knowledge, and like that they were saying, yeah, and they were like, we have the word of God.
Yeah,
we dictate what is right and what's wrong, and that it, they essentially are doing that in this world as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing it through different eyes. Like this peasant lady, she doesn't have all this future knowledge, and like Dracula does, and his son Alucard probably does. And Lisa has some of that now because she's been studying with them. But most peasants, that they don't have the formal education.
Right.
Oh, they just that take comes the church up
at their word.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
they're supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dracula finds out that the church has taken his wife. And
that she'll be probably dead already.
Yeah, what? That she's probably been burnt at the stake already.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts crying blood.
Yes, he does. It's creepy.
And he informs this sweet old lady that she should get her family and get out of Wakanda?
Not Wakanda. That's not it.
No, it starts with a W, but...
Yeah, Wallachia.
Well, yeah, Wallachia. Yeah.
Let me check. How do they pronounce it? God, he's got such a creepy, awesome voice.
Oh, yeah. No, but he just tells her straight up, you want to get out of here. Some shit's about to go down.
Mm.
And he believed, and he's like, I'm done walking the land as a man. And he bursts into flames. It's so cool.
That's a good ability to be do, flames shooting from your eyes and all over your body and stuff. It's real creepy. Dracula, we didn't really say in the scene, like, he's got the long fingernails, but other than that, he looks pretty human. Like, the first time we saw him, he was wearing, like, the big stately robes and the cape and everything, and he's not really doing that in this scene. He looks more or less normal, you know, upper class,
He's wearing what you would consider traveling clothes for an upper class person in this sort of time. Like, it's a fairly sturdy jacket, a nice kind of shirt, like it's still like tough looking, and he's wearing a sort of jeans and boots. Like, he doesn't look super fancy like he did in the previous scene, and he just kind of looks like a normal dude with long fingernails and sharp canines.
Yep. Until he bursts into flame. Then you start to think, maybe not. And he bursts into flame. The woman runs away, and her flowers that she brought for Lisa burst into flames. And then we smoldering. Transition back to the smoldering pyre where her corpse is just barely hanging from the ropes and then falls and disintegrates.
Into ash.
And the bishop's like, I've done good. Yep, go for me. Okay, three cheers, everyone. Hip, hip, hurrah for me for burning a woman at the stake, right? I'm so good at my job.
Except
Dracula shows up.
Yeah.
So here's the problem. Here's the problem I have, MC. He's like, take your family and leave Wallachia tonight, for I'm going to go threaten someone to do something bad in a year. So you gotta... I mean, I guess you don't need to leave tonight. You could... like leave tomorrow, next Tuesday instead. Just sometime soon you should make plans to leave Wallachia.
Here's the thing, Troy, that you're forgetting.
Yes.
Took a lot longer to travel back then.
But a year?
I mean, probably not a whole year, but
that's a good point.
Do you want to be anywhere near Wallachia when shit starts going down?
That's fair. Maybe that's
what
he meant.
You wouldn't even be on the border.
Yeah.
You want to be a couple of hundred miles inland away from it?
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So Dracula's a big fiery face, and he's yelling at the bishop about how, like, Lisa was the only thing that justified humanity's stench upon the earth and all this stuff.
And how she was the only good thing.
the bishop's defense is, but you're not real, to the big fiery face that's yelling at him. And it's like, hey, bishop, come up with a better argument. There's a big fiery face yelling at you.
You can't tell a big fiery face that's yelling at you, hey, you're not real, and it's going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to work.
And this is where he puts in his proclamation of, in a year from now, I'm going to come back and you're all going to suffer, mm-hmm. pretty much.
And it seems like maybe he's trying to do the same favor in Lisa's name that he did to that old woman of saying, yeah. you've got a year to get out of here. He then does start, like, raining fiery comets down on top of the town. So, you've got a year, except for also today, I am going to set a lot of you on fire. But other than that, you've got a year.
Oh, no, he didn't set anyone on fire. Maybe a few houses got burnt down. Windows did get shattered.
Windows got shattered.
Yeah.
There's going to be some calls to your Allstate agent. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, there might be some scrapes and bruises, but most of the people got out of there fine. He didn't rain down chaos immediately.
Which is the insurance company that has the commercials where the guy's like, I'm the tree that blew over in the storm or whatever. I just imagined him falling through the sky and going, I'm the fiery meteor falling onto the earth because of Dracula's anger at the human race. And now I'm bashing through your house. Oh, no.
I only know what you're talking about because of my time in America. I have no idea what that is.
I guess,
is
yeah,
because...
you probably don't get a lot of commercials for American insurance companies.
No.
You know what's great, though, is the next scene reveals that, not actually, he wasn't, like, saying you've got a year to give them any favors. It's just because it'll take a year for him to summon the armies
of
hell. Which I was like, Dracula, you made it sound like you were being so, like, he was like, I'm trying to think of a good comparison. He was like, listen, why don't I pick you up this afternoon? Because that'll give you plenty of time to get ready. And actuality is like, fuck, I'm going to go to the bar and have a beer beforehand. Like, you weren't giving them a year for their own sake. You were doing it because you needed a year.
Oh, my God. But yeah, he's throwing a tantrum in his castle at this point.
Mm.
And he's like, it's going to take me a year to get these hordes from hell up into... up here, and sort of like, oh, okay, so that's why.
Yep.
And then it cuts.
Well, no, we see Alucard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As the shadowy figure in the doorway going like,
yeah.
Hey, please. Wait, that's... I'm trying to think of my voice for him. I can't think of his voice. It's Gaius Baltar from Battlestar, and I can't think of his voice. It's gone. Hey, do you know it's Gaius Baltar from Battlestar? It's Gaius Baltar from Battlestar. Anyway, he's like, please don't kill everybody. Please don't kill all the people. Like, just don't. You're gonna kill so many people. Please don't kill so many people.
She wouldn't like that.
Yeah, there's gonna. You know how your wife was an innocent person? You're gonna kill like a lot of innocent people. Please don't kill any innocent people.
Don't raise the hordes of hell. Please don't. And he's like, she was the only good thing in this world. She was the only light. My happiness. And then Dracula...
And then Dracula attacks the shadowy figure. That's the last we see of that scene. Is he claws him up real good.
Yeah.
And then, smash cut to a year later. And Trugaviste is beautiful. It's summertime. Everybody's gathering outside the church. It's lovely.
And the archbishop, who seems like an old, fat guy... who gets carried on,
You're the one who taught me this word.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of what it is. A litter.
Litter, that's it.
You taught me that. Back in Zelda.
Yeah. So he's getting carried in on a litter, and he gets placed down. It's like this huge gold throne, and he's talking about how it's been a year since the proclamation, and nothing bad has happened. Look how prosperous and wonderful everything is, and he's doing this huge, big speech, and in the middle of it, it starts getting dark, and it all of a sudden there's a few drops of something falling out of the sky.
Oh, and so gross.
And people look down and there's blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden these little like demon fetuses start falling out of the sky as well. And Dracula shows back up.
Yeah. And it's so gross.
And cuts off the Archbishop in mid-speech about how Dracula's not real and everything's fine and everything's illusion and trickery with the devil. And Dracula's like, hey, yeah, remember how I gave you a year? It's been a year. I'm going to start destroying everything you love and know. So let's start with this church. And it just he sort of like cracks the foundation, it bursts into flame. And then all of a sudden, where the church used to stand is Dracula's castle.
Yeah, it like rises up out of the ground under the church and just knocks the whole thing over. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. And
then the hordes really come to play. Because so far, because it's just been like a little gross and a little bit maimy. And then these demons just come flying out of his castle. They start like ripping people's entrails out. They cut people in half. They kill children. It's nasty.
Oh, it's so good. And more mechanical stuff that you see with the castle as well. Because all the windows open by themselves. And all these demons come flying out.
Sorry, I have it playing over on my other screen while we're talking. And a demon just punched through the back of someone's head so that his fingers came out of their eyes. Oh, man. It's so gross.
It's so gory. It is very gory. I will warn people, if they do have a weak stomach, you might want to skip this show.
All of this show? Yeah.
Yeah. Just this. Because there's some real gory bits in it. And it's the start of the next episode that there's a real disturbing scene that you want to definitely skip. So once the demon horde has been released on this country because of what the church and the bishop has done, he's like, okay, spread out, go destroy all the cities.
He says, kill for the endless lifetime of hate before me. I'm like, dang, that's a good line, Dracula.
We forgot to mention he does the big fire face in the sky.
He does fire face in the sky. He also does bat face in the sky where his face is made of a cloud of bats. He's good. He's good at faces in the sky.
Yeah. And I think this episode ends with the inbred farmers.
Blatantly and without censorship, talking about, and I'm going to censor this, goat f***ing. Like...
Oh my god. Yeah, that's right. And it's terrible. And he's talking about how he hits this dude in the face with his shovel.
Because he was fucking his goat.
Yeah. Not just like, his goat, but I would like his goat with mange.
To quote you a line, if I could, that I will have to censor.
Oh my god, I think I know the line that you're gonna say. It's terrible.
But what am I supposed to do when I find my goat lying on its side in the field, fucked within an inch of its life, and a naked man with blood and straw all over his peck?
Yeah, that's the exact line I knew you were gonna... He says that. Like,
they say that in this cartoon!
Yeah. And then he goes...
He starts talking about the wealthy and how, like, all of the problems in the world come from the upper class.
Well, one of the, some skinny guy runs in and he's like, the demons are coming.
That's right.
That's what triggers his whole church and upper class rant. And We're just their slaves rant that he goes on.
Yeah, that's right. And as he's doing all this, we see a guy sitting at a table in the corner who's kind of listening in on the conversation.
and he tries to hide a little bit when he starts hearing the name Belmont being thrown around.
Yeah, he says, Belmonts, we should have killed all the Belmonts. And the guy sitting at the table just goes, "Shit." And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah.
I liked this episode. I was a little shocked by Castlevania. It was a bit much, and I didn't realize that it was going to be.
Oh, it is really good and violent and gory at the same time. And if you're not into that, I do suggest that you skip it. But if you're okay with a bit of gore, if you're like me and you find yourself chuckling at the ridiculousness of horror movies, you will definitely enjoy this show.
And if you're like me, and horror movies make you curl into a little ball and cry, you might still enjoy this show, but you also will spend a lot of it going, ooh, which is what I did. We'll be back next time with Season 1, Episode 2 of Castlevania, Necropolis.
Ugh.
But I have also been excited.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Do you like video games? Ever thought about making a video game? Do you find that a week or 2 weeks is kind of short for a game jam? Well, have I got the game jam for you with the We Can Make This Work Probably Game Jam. We have 9 themes. You can choose one for your game. Each theme is taken from one of our 9 podcasts. The jam runs from April 20th to June 9th to provide a nice amount of time for you to make something cool. Check out the link in the description for more information and to figure out how to join and submit. Have fun!